Thank you, Michal and Megan and Laura. I'm going to read one verse of scripture, and I'm not going to preach. But this verse will become clearer over the course of next year. And before I read that one verse, I'm just going to repeat the verse that we started the service with from Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 2 and 3, and then 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And I'll repeat it because it's short. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And I preached a sermon a while back, Jesus the Bodybuilder. And Scripture has a number of metaphors for church, and I'll just mention both briefly. One is building, and the other is body. Building and body. And if you're a farmer, there's field in there as well. But if we're the building, if we together are God's building, what are the blocks, or who are the bricks? And if we are body, then what are the cells? If we're taking the metaphor of building, what are the blocks or the bricks? And if we're taking the metaphor of body, then what are the cells? Just one question I have. What's the biggest building project you've ever been, in which you've ever been involved? The biggest building project in which you've ever been involved? You can have a think for just a short while. Some neighbours have just finished a building project, and it's just a first and second floor flat in a terraced house in Tooting. But building projects often take longer than expected, and they were hoping to be back earlier than they were, but the family arrived back yesterday. I don't wonder what the biggest building project you've been involved in is. Some of us were involved in a building project at Little Gates. But if we are God's building, then we're his project. I wonder how you feel to be described as God's project. But he's the master builder. Jesus is the master builder. I'd rather be built by a master than by an amateur, somebody who's professional rather than unprofessional. And we had an AGM a couple of weeks ago, and so we talked about finance and we talked about staff, and we need to do that because we are a registered charity and a limited company. But what we don't always do is give a formal presentation, if you like, of the more spiritual aspect of church. And this isn't going to be formal, it will be informal. But let me go back to that question. if we're God's building, what are the blocks or the bricks? Or if we're the body, what are the cells? And the answer to both, and you could answer it different ways, but the answer we're going to run with just for a few minutes this morning is small groups. If we're God's building, then the blocks of that building are small groups. And if we're the body, then the cells in that body would be the small groups. And I don't know how much you remember about high school biology, but cells need something to control what's happening within the cell. And that control is necessary, because otherwise, when cells do their own thing, then cancer results. So cells need nuclei, and in the same way, I don't know what it is that bricks need. I guess that's not my expertise. I'm not going to go there. But small groups need leaders, and I'm just going to ask each, or at least a representative from each small group leadership, because one has a joint leadership, just to tell us a little bit about their small group, just giving thanks, looking back over the last year, and then we're going to have communion in those small groups. So that's where we're headed for the next few minutes, just hearing a little about the small groups, and then we'll have communion in those small groups. And I'm going to ask Charlotte first. They don't know which order.
Okay, wait, let me just find my... And so, yeah, 2015 has been a good year for the women's small group. Since January we have grown. We welcome quite a lot of people from South Africa. And we had some people returning to small group after a break. But because of that, and because of the outreach that we did at Littlegates, we were able to multiply in June. And the two groups are still running. And I think when I look at the group, we've grown throughout the year, both in numbers and I think as a whole as well. Sorry. And I think as we've got to know each other, we've become like more honest and more open and more able maybe to like talk about more difficult things. I think I'm really thankful for how each of the members of the small group have served in different areas, and hosted and provided food as well as serving at church. I'm getting lost here. And yeah, it's been an honour to lead the women's small group as well. Sorry, something's happened here. And one thing that I've really enjoyed about small group that I've seen happen consistently is how God knows each one of us, and he knows where we're at and how we respond, what we respond to, and that as a group, you know, we participate in that, but also as individuals, and how, you know, all of us in the group are obviously different, but how God prompts us and leads us differently, but for the benefit of the group. And I think, especially recently, we've had several times where there's just been an honesty and an openness, and all the women have been like really open to God, and he's, I think, challenged everyone in the group, and but so specifically and individually, like where we're at. I've been here both gently and firmly, but in his grace, and for each of us to be all that he has called us to be. Yeah, and I think that's basically the summary of the year.
Thank you, Charlotte. Sally's next.
Yeah. Well, there's often children at our small group, so like our children do at Smallwood, they have to manage their distractions, put their goggles on and focus. And yeah, it's a really blessing, the small group that I'm part of. And I think the underlying principle is obviously always a biblical one, and it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as we see the day approaching. And I was really blessed. We kind of followed the small group training that Yanko and Hercules did, and that was just awesome, just to be reminded and refreshed again. And, you know, Yanko, he said, the focus isn't fellowship, and the focus isn't Bible study, but it's discipleship. And I think our group actually demonstrates that quite well, because it's a real challenge to manage lots of people's different, very busy schedules with very definite deadlines. And so actually, we're a very focused group. So the challenge is not to give up meeting together, that remains, but actually what we do is we have a very focused, intensive 1.5 hours where we actually just spend our time on the Lord, being with the Lord, and we're not transformed by hearing the word. We know that Andrew said that years ago, but it's by the application of the word. So it's good to come on a Sunday, and we're really grateful for all the sermons that are preached. You know, every time it's a word in season, from whether it's David or Yaku or Alistair or someone else, it's a word in season. But I love the fact that when we're in small group, it kind of that environment allows us to, or focuses our reflection, so we reflect on what we've had. You know, God, he wants us to digest our food. He wants to chew on the meat. He wants us to get the nutrients so that we can actually go out and minister life to the people. So, yeah, but because we come together in small group, we reflect and we discipline ourselves to be doers of the word, and iron sharpens iron. We actually meet downstairs in the office. In our previous offices, we could have we often had small groups in the evenings in the old offices. Here, we're not able to, so it's an awesome thing that we can actually be in the center, the heart of South Wimbledon, and as people go past, they can see us in that place. And yeah, we regularly have someone who's not particularly walking with the Lord who comes to small group, and what she said in her own words about the small group is, what we do in small group is different to what she's ever known in any other church that she's visited or been part of. There's nothing like this, this kind of gap. And, you know, she's not saved, but she recognizes there's something about this group that, and it's not of ourselves, it's what Jesus does in that group, that is life and life-giving. And, you know, for me, that excites me, because this is what the word says. I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ, the gospel. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. And yeah, I was a Gentile, and his gospel works. It's worked in my life, and I know it will work in your king's life. You know, she's a Gentile just like me. And yeah, so it's exciting to come and just yeah, discipline and exercise our spiritual muscles. And yeah, iron sharpens iron, and definitely we are being changed through that discipleship process. And yeah, we've got the whole week for studying the Bible, doing the Bible school DVDs or whatever. We've got the whole week to fellowship. But yeah, that time, that hour and a half, is something that I think the people who regularly come recognize it's important for them. And good. So give God glory. Amen.
Okay, so apologies in advance, I've got a cold. 2015's been a really exciting year for our small group. So it's a small group co-led by myself and Dong, in the establishment of a men's outreach small group in London. And that's, I guess, led by a sort of strategic vision of outreach. We're not in church to make friends. And we're not in church to make enemies either. But we are in church to save souls. And I guess as such, you know, this small group sort of represents a crucial part of what we try to do in church. And you could say that's where church happens. Paul says in the Corinthians that, you know, that he becomes all things to all people, and that's what we try to replicate. Outreach involves relationship building and a patient approach to identifying non-believers' needs and showing how these needs can be addressed through Christ. And I think we've found that we can only do this if we stay true to our strategy. So Paul talks about being able to become all things to all people because of the initial God-given freedom that he has. And also he talks about staying true to the strategy. So I think he talks about running the race purposefully and not boxing in thin air, I think. But so maintaining and sticking to a strategy. It's been an interesting journey. We've been finding our feet. Dong and I continue to learn more and more in the process. And we've had an actively engaged group of up to 8 at various points in time. Some have come along more faithfully than others, some haven't. And I guess, you know, it's about God discerning what it is about each soul and spirit that's there. And so we do this in order that God may, as Paul says, save some. You know, he doesn't talk about saving everybody in that. We've had outreach to plays and carol services and different theological talks, all of which have been attended by non-believers from our outreach group, which has been fantastic, really. And we've seen successful engagement in sowing the seeds, such that our most frequent attender and participant isn't yet a follower of Christ, but actually, you know, respects God. Respects God, you know, even more than some Christians I know. And has a real God-given love for other people, to the point that, you know, he gave to the Christmas lunch on Jesus and things like that. So it's a real purposeful engagement. And in 2016, we pray for continued sowing, patience, and to partake of the harvest that God's bringing forth.
Thank you, Sangha. Let me, before giving some kind of general comments, speak about the Southwest Small Group, which meets either kind of Collierswood, Wimbledon, Tooting, and occasionally in Croydon as well. And women are welcome, if any woman can cope with competing with 6 men for the food that's on offer, then they are welcome. But for various reasons, we recognise that spouses sometimes might not get along to another group, so that happens. And the other thing that we've had is the group's been led by different people over the course of the year, and that's vital because we need more leaders in order for the small groups to multiply. So again, if you think back to your high school biology, when the nuclear material in a cell gathers together and then replicates, you need that replication before the small group, before the shell can multiply. And we've met in homes, sometimes in public places, and there's benefits of both. We've had new members and occasional members, people who live either the other end of the country or the other end of the world, but when they're in London, then they make a point of making sure they're at small group. And I can say this for our small group, but also for the others, because I know the other small groups were also involved. Kind of Christmas lunch in Jesus now, and I'll mention that in a few moments again. But in the summer, if you can remember the summer when the nights were short and the days were long, and we used to go out in T-shirts, although some of us are able to do that today. But the Love All Serve All Wimbledon Tennis Outreach, which we've engaged with as congregation for the last maybe 7 or 8 years. But we went there just to the people who were queuing for the Wimbledon tennis, camping overnight, and speaking, praying, engaging with them. And that was a highlight for our small group. And just something that the organizer of that outreach said, she said, you're the dream team. She had Shofar of the dream team, and she wasn't just referring to our small group, it was people from the different small groups. So I know that that was a blessing, not just to us, but to the people in the queues at Wimbledon Tennis, but it was also a blessing to the other churches that were taking part in that as well. So that's for the Southwest Small Group. And then just to give some comments kind of in terms of overseeing all those small groups, one of the small group leaders said that's where church happens. And we can buy shofar CDs and use those for worship, and we can listen to shofar online sermons, but there's no cyber small group. It doesn't work like that. And that's the aspect of church that we can't replicate. The other aspect, can anyone think? In terms of one of Jesus, I mean, both of his commands, you can't do unless you're physically present. You can do intercession over Skype. I mean, it's good when you're there together, because you kind of maybe, if the glory comes in the room, then you're there to experience it. But there's two commands Jesus gave that we can't do unless you're physically there. And here's a clue, we're going to do one in a few minutes. So, baptism, you can't do without being physically there. And, I mean, you know, God has grace, so if there's only a small puddle, and God can do what he needs to do. But the idea is that when people are baptized, you're there with them. And the idea is when we have communion, you're there with them. And so there's some aspects of church that we can't do from a distance. We have to be up close and personal. And then just the other thing to say is growth is what God wants. Okay? So if he's a builder, he wants to see the building built. And John 15, 1 Corinthians 3 talks also about we're God's field. John 15, Jesus talks about him being the vine and the Father being the gardener. God wants growth. He expects a return. But sometimes we have our own perspective, a limited perspective of what growth is. So in general terms, growth can be quantitative and qualitative. So it can be a growth in quantity and then also a growth in quality. And we've seen a growth in quantity, in as much as we started the year, and for the first part of the year we had two small groups, and for the second half of the year we've had four. And often, numbers mean a lot, and numbers are significant, but always think names rather than numbers, because God doesn't view us as a number. He doesn't look on us and think how many tens of people are in this small group, in this congregation, or how many up to 10 are in this small group. He always thinks about names, and when he's thinking about those names, when he has a heart for those names, when Jesus is interceding for us, he expects growth, not just in quantity but also in quality, a growth of maturity. So as we go into 2016 and we focus on God's building, and that will be the focus for all the shofar congregations next year, and be excited about next year. We're having more input than we've had before from HQ, and there'll be some personnel changes. But the building is still the building. God's building is still God's building. God's body is still God's body. We, as the church, and that building is a big project. Sometimes the growth or the building might take longer than we expect it to take, but it does happen. One of the things that we've done is to encourage outreach through small groups. So the Love All Serve All Tennis was through the small groups, and Christmas Lunch on Jesus also is through small groups. And at the AGM, I hoped, and I said that I have a hope that we can get enough, raise enough money for one hamper per small group, and that's what we have done as of just this morning. So so there'll be four hampers going from this congregation and seven people. And we're going to have communion now. But in those small groups, and Charlotte, I guess, gets full house, really, with the exception of Sonia, who's downstairs with the children. But you pray for each other, because you're all going out, but the rest of us just pray for the person in your group who is going out. So Sally from her group, and Dong from his, and myself from the group that I'm part of as well. Dong, can you get the communion and then just serve that? And then have communion in your small groups. Pray in your small groups. And we have to be at Moreland Baptist Church at 1 o'clock. So pray long, but not too long. Just pray for your small group going into 2016 as well. So have communion. Pray for today, going out to the different homes in Merton, blessing people with hampers and hopefully conversations, questionnaires and prayers, whatever it may be. And then just take some time, because we'll have a combined small group this week, just to pray for the small group for next year, 2016.